the Deputy Prime Minister says the private sector is the key to the federal government's vision to tap the potential development of Northern Australia. In releasing the government's green paper on the issue yesterday, Warren Truss said private capital is critical to development of the region north of the Tropic of Capricorn. And the green paper, which is designed to kick off discussion and feed into an eventual white paper, has outlined six broad key areas to development: better infrastructure, water management, flexible native title leases, trade, business, research. I want to shed some light on the green paper and what it covers. I'm joined this morning by Alan Dale, Associate Professor and the research leader of tropical regional development at James Cook University. Welcome to Breakfast.
Morning, James. How are you?
Well, indeed. This issue has always been a difficult one and a perennial one. Does the Green Paper offer any ideas on how to develop the North?
Look, I think those six themes that you just outlined is probably the first time we've seen a cohesive approach to the bigger issue of how you actually encourage investment in Northern Australia. In the past, we've seen a lot of ideas and big schemes that have come and gone, but there's a lot of barriers to investment actually occurring. And it's the hard work behind the scenes, like the six big issues that have been raised, that really need to be worked on to sort of see investment opened up in terms of critical opportunities in Northern Australia.
In the past, governments have spent lots of money trying to develop Northern Australia and failed. Now, this government is proposing not to spend money, and you're saying it offers more exciting prospects. How does that work out?
A lot of the big schemes that we've sort of seen come and go in the past, they're not necessarily based on the sort of evidence that it takes to really secure the investment we actually need to make changes, particularly for big agricultural development and other sorts of things. There are a couple of barriers that need to be resolved in Northern Australia, and I think what this paper is trying to do is start to get down to the bottom of those key issues.
And what other?
That does take a level of government leadership to actually encourage security for investment. And that's why I think that the big six themes that are being articulated: what are the big strategic issues of investment in infrastructure? What's the future for land use? How do we resolve some of the big land use conflicts that are there in Northern Australia that prevent investment? How do we make sure that the allocation of water is secure, both for environmental purposes but also for consumptive use? What are the investment incentives? They're the sorts of things that really will start to lift the level of confidence of investors, not just in the private sector but also within governments themselves.
Are you talking about building dams?
What I'm saying is that where there are opportunities, we know there are some significant opportunities for investment in Northern Australia, but there's a whole lot of barriers, if you like, that stand in the way at the moment to attracting the capital needed to progress some of these things.
Like water and the large travel times, the high cost, that sort of thing?
Yeah, the cost of doing business in Northern Australia is very high.
But none of those things are going away.
Both things can be worked on, and that's what the purpose of the paper is to say, how do we start to work on reducing some of these transaction costs so that the opportunity for capital investment is much improved? Well, let's not forget there are significant opportunities. At the same time, we need to sort of see very cohesive and very careful development in Northern Australia. So it's about saying, where do we put the effort? Where's the best prospectivity for return? Let's then try to remove the investment barriers by making sure there's clear land use plans, making sure that there's clear water allocation, the environmental constraints are worked through and resolved, native title issues are resolved to the benefit of traditional owners. Let's get those things resolved so that the prospectivity for investment is much enhanced.
But may it be that all those things are resolved and the private sector still says it's not a good deal?
No, being a North Australian, James, I don't believe that to be the case. I live and deal on a daily basis with significant interest in private sector investment in Northern Australia, in agriculture, in energy, and a whole lot of key things. I know there's a very, very high level of interest in investment, but we need to be working on those strategic areas where investment is most likely to occur and really see a cohesive cross-governmental approach. And that's why the last issue on this paper really is about governance. How do we start to get the federal government, the state governments, territory governments, local government, councils, traditional owners, all working together to get some cohesion about the vision about where development should occur and what's the best way for it to happen?
So it's not about inefficiently wasting taxpayer dollars, but on the contrary, about removing barriers which shouldn't be there in the first place.
I think that's what the opportunity is, and I think that might be the difference between this approach and some of the past approaches where there's been grand visions and grand intent, but nobody's actually worked on removing some of the barriers to investment.
Because you'll remember the old South Australian farmer who was a Liberal MP in the 60s and 70s, Bert Kelly?
There's been cycles of this in the past, as you know. It's come and gone. I'm really keen to make sure this opportunity is not one that comes and goes like some of the past.
Yeah, I want to just give a quote from Bert Kelly. He was a free trader back at a time when everyone was for tariffs, and he says reopening government-led farming ventures in the north will fail. We may not know what to do with the water we store in these dams, or whether we will have to ask the taxpayer to subsidise the crops we grow with the stored water, but building dams makes us feel better somehow. The only drawback is the near certainty that the poor farmers who will be induced to go there will go broke. We've come a long way since then, or perhaps not so far at all.
Well, I'm hoping that this paper is a step towards resolving some of those things from the past. We've seen it before. I think by really focusing on these key investment issues, resolving the barriers, focusing on those areas that have got real prospectivity, I think we can see some differences. We've got to remember there's a significant industry in Northern Australia already. It's not as though it's an empty landscape. The things that have worked for that existing investment are the sorts of barriers, removal issues that need to be worked on in some of these new areas for development.
So, like, what are some examples?
So some of the barriers that we talked about?
No, some of the success stories so far.
Well, we've already got to look at the realities of significant agricultural development, for example, in Far North Queensland. The wet tropics where I live is one of the most significant horticultural sugar pastoral areas within Australia. We've seen some successes emerging in terms of the new approaches to sugar in the Ord. We've seen some significant growth in the horticultural industry around Darwin. So development is occurring. It's about how do we sort of continue to create the environment for investment and also look after the existing industries that we've got. And that's why we've got to work on some of these issues like energy, water allocation, resolving some of the future land use issues that need to be resolved, and really looking at the issue of incentives. So we've got high costs, but there are some practical incentives, I think, that can be considered. And they're the sorts of things, I think, that we need to look at where we're not creating any distortions in the economy, but that we're actually really looking at practical things that will work in Northern Australia.
Are we talking about special economic zones that have, like, lower wage rates for some parts of the country?
So there's a few things flagged in the white paper process and in this particular green paper that should be explored. But I think the key issue is making sure that we come up with incentives that don't distort the economy or rely on long-term subsidies. But at the same time, you know, we've got to look at some practical things.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time, Alan Dale.
Thank you very much, James, and we'll hopefully see some real progress into the white paper process from here. It's very important that as Northern Australians we have a very strong say, and we feel like we are having a strong say in this process, so that's been a good step forward.
Well, I look forward to having you back on the program when green turns to white. Alan Dale.
Thank you, James. See you.
The research leader in tropical regional development with James Cook University in Townsville.